have on the line a filmmaker from Venice, California, William Gazzacchi, and from Florida, we have Jacques Fresco, who was an inventor, and we'll get into some inventions in a moment, but Jacques, you're really more of a philosopher, don't you think so, William?
No, I'd rather call myself...
What would you call yourself?
A social engineer.
Can social engineering be done by movies, William?
Well, you know, I think that there is a lot to be said for a film being the catalyst for a degree of social change. I think we've seen it in movies like Star Wars. You know, and there are certain movies that embody certain universal ideals that people identify with. Now, you have to make a very good movie, and times have changed some, too. You know, there's a lot of movies out there now, and the opportunity to institute social change with a single film is a big challenge. But I think that more to the point is that, you know, we are clearly creatures of habit. And, you know, we like our comfort zones, things like that. I mean, I think that's one of the things that is so ingrained in being a human being that we tend to forget it. And, you know, technology, this is where Jacques has been a participant in this. The technology has advanced tremendously in the last, say, 70 years or 80 years. Technology has gone, it's not even recognizable. The world is not even recognizable to a person who was alive 70 or 80 years ago. It's such a different world. Yet we as people are very much the same. We're very similar to who we were 70 or 80 years ago. And that's one of the points. That's one of the things that people need to become aware of is, you know, technology has changed. The world has changed. Human beings not necessarily have changed that much. And I think that's a very, you know, very critical. And I think that a film could begin. It's like a snowball. You know, you start out with a little pebble, and then you build a little snowball, and
well,
it gets bigger and bigger.
You know, the industry is supposed to be an original business, but they always want to know how it played somewhere. And so if you get a film that's successful, then maybe you'll get a lot of copycat ideas on TV, et cetera, that push this lifestyle or this idea or this philosophy. So from that standpoint, I agree with you. I thought that those films that combined future worlds that were not anything but violent Robocops type things, I think they did much more damage to society than many people think.
Well, and I also think that, you know, we are clearly going forward in the world. You know, life doesn't stop just because maybe there's some wrong turns that we can see ahead. You know, we've been talking about the potential for some kind of global collapse, and there's a lot of talk about that right now. There's a lot of talk about even just the American economy. I mean, the stock market lately has been all over the place, and it's been in all the stock markets all over the world. We have the 2012 syndrome that's coming up, you know, that's in on the horizon. I mean, we are living in interesting times, and so you combine these different notions of, you know, can a film affect the society versus can we only change after there's a total collapse? Well, somewhere in the mix of all of this is, you know, is what we're going to end up experiencing. And I think that, you know, human beings do, I think it is a good time for us to, you know, maybe do a little navel gazing and take a look at what have we wrought on this planet of ours, because between things like global warming and toxification and, you know, all the things, you know, you can look at the glass half empty or half full. Nonetheless, the train is still going down the track. And I think the more people have an opportunity to look at viable alternatives, that's one of the things that Jacques has always said, is rather than complain about life, invent a new alternative. Fix it. Come up with a better idea. And that is what he has done, is he's come up with a better idea. And it's a very sophisticated idea. It's a multiplicity of ideas, but nonetheless, it's practical. That's the thing that's hard to wrap your head around, is there are elements of Jacques' work that represent real solutions for everyone.
We have some photos and graphics and things on our website in connection with this interview about some of Jacques' designs. Jacques, you've been really involved not only in the social change as we're talking about, but you're a man that's been involved in what, maglev trains and your automobile idea. That's an interesting idea. How do you perceive? Is that going to be a traditional electric car or what?
No, not really. Once we get off the ground, meaning once we, the nations of the world, join together, we can work on the transportation system within the city itself. So you can get on a conveyor in the city and dial where you want to go. Art center, school, shopping, music center. You don't need automobiles. They're a hell of an inefficient way to move people.
Yeah, I got to interject here one little thing.
They will disappear eventually.
Go ahead, William.
Well, I just got to say that in terms of transportation, I must think about Jock Fresco every day because I live in Los Angeles where it is choked.
Oh, I know. I used to drive on the Santa Monica Freeway, and there's no way you can get anywhere.
No, I've been here 30 years. It's worse now than it's ever been.
Oh, sure.
And they had train tracks that went from one end of town to the other that were built in the 1920s, that if we had those train tracks working now, Los Angeles would be have a half the traffic it has right now. And what do? And this is agreed, again, this is, you know, real estate and all this other stuff. They pulled all the train tracks up. They pulled them all up and cemented them over. And now when this city needs mass transportation more than ever, it's never going to happen. It's all choked.
Yeah, Jacques, how are you going to get people out of their cars and onto a conveyor belt?
You don't have to do anything. The future will generate a system or it will die. You see, no culture can freeze and hold that culture. Even the cities I design will be a straitjacket to the kids of the future. They will design their own cities. In other words, if you take a person, say, like me, and you make a hero of him, that's dangerous. Because once kids begin to look up to somebody, they don't look ahead. So we want to disqualify the idea of hero worship, or the great man, or the man with a great idea. We talk about Leonardo da Vinci a lot, but we don't talk about the people he met that influence him. No human being is able to conceive of ideas alone. We build upon one another. You take an idea so far, another person takes a little further. There are no great men in the future. There are no armies, no prisons, no police.
If you took all of the money and resources that we spend on the military-industrial complex, the police complex, judicial system, we'd have plenty of money to do a lot of things, wouldn't we?
It isn't money we need, it's resources. If you landed on an island with $10 million, and there was no arable land, no fish and no water, you have nothing. It's not money that people need, it's access to resources. You have to think about that.
Well, that's, you know, Chuck makes two very important points, Jerry, that hero worship is part of the scam, basically. It's you know, the rich guys have always written the history books. And people look up to the rich guys because that's what the rich guys want, you know. And if you look at what the richest people are doing right now in the world, they are not focusing their attention on cash, you know. People think that powerful people are into what they do because they want to be rich. And it's not the case. They're into what they do because they want to be powerful. And what the powerful people are doing now is not looking at capital. Capital is sort of passe. What the wealthiest and what the most powerful people who control the world are looking at now is resources. That is where, if you really look at who's playing the chess pieces on the global game, they're looking at resource control. I mean, what do you think the war in Iraq is about? It's not about cash. The war in Iraq is about oil. It's about a resource. You know, the people who run the United States armies, the United States governments, they're not out there looking for capital. They're not out there looking for euros or yen or, you know, that's passe. What they're looking at is how do we control resources? How do we control water? How do we control oil? How do we control resources? And the American, you know, most people are all caught up in, you know, how can I make more money? You know, how can I, you know, get more credit? How can I buy more stuff? That's what the peons, now that's what we normal folks focus on. The big powerful boys, they don't focus on cash. They got plenty of cash. They focus on resources.
How are we going to change it?
You don't change it. times themselves, when the system collapses. See, you weren't around probably during the last depression, but I remember the government taking over a lot of industrial plants because they haven't paid taxes on their equipment. And the industrial plant was worthless because they weren't selling anything. So you don't have to worry about capitalists giving up anything. When the system collapses, you can't sell your factory. If you've got a lot of people without purchasing power, you can't sell houses. You can't sell anything. So the system is self-defeating. It just has to run its course. The history of civilization is dictatorships, militarism, war. And all of this is part of the history of civilization. You're living through that phase now. If we fail to accept the ideas that I'm talking about now, we will not solve these problems. I don't know what the future will be. Nobody knows that. I only know that if we fail to accept the responsibility for the intelligent management of the Earth's resources, we will lose everything.
Jack,
Jerry, the other answer to your question is knowledge is power. It always has been. You know, how do you change things? Well, you learn. You have to inform people.
You don't have to change things. The system collapses and things change.
In other words, you're saying that the human being what it is reactionary.
Well, I would say that they really do not have free will. Their thoughts, their ideas are all given to them in the educational system. In other words, Einstein said patriotism is a disease. He meant loyalty to any country would be a disease. You have to have loyalty to the earth and all the people on it. This is the only thing I know of that will solve those problems. If we fail to accept that idea, we won't make it.
Well, history is repeat with nationalism rearing its ugly head. And, you know, we have a lot of things going on in this country and around the world about borders and things like that. And really, that's all man-made. I mean, if you stop and think about it, and on the cash idea, you're probably right, William, about the power behind the cash. Because let's take for instance Bill Gates. If he wanted to go down to the bank and see his money in cash, I don't think every bank in the country could come up with enough.
Yeah, money has become entries into a computer system at this point. It's representational. It's all phony money. I mean, it's, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank, which is what prints our dollars, literally, they live on the interest that they earn by printing up money based on nothing but paper and loaning it to people, and people pay interest on it.
You're right, 100% profit.
Yeah.
Well, other than the print.
History has shown that never sustains itself. It never. I mean, they're already talking now about the Amero, the new dollar for North America, just like the euro. What that implies is that the dollar is going to crash, and that will be part of, you know, possibly a, I don't know if we'll have a global collapse, because, you know, the elite never collapse. They always got enough. So if it collapses, it really collapses for the rest of us. And that's why I say information is power. If we go through a severe collapse in the next 25 years, the key is going to, just like it was in the Great Depression of the 30s, the key is going to be how are people informed, you know? And Roosevelt's New Deal was a perfect example of, you can call it information, you can call it propaganda, or you can call it some sort of a model of sustainability, which is a modern term. But nonetheless, people rise to the occasion, essentially, especially if the occasion is a pretty low, you know, a collapse. People are going to have to figure out a new way to live. That's what they did in the 30s. We got to figure out a new way to live.
Jacques, you were born in 1916, so in the Depression you were 29. You were a young man in your 20s. Did you...
Younger than that.
Oh, were you? 16, 26, 20... Yeah, yeah.
What kind of society would the future require to survive? It would require that all of the resources of the earth become the common heritage of all of the world's people, and the removal of all the artificial boundaries that separate people. Now, years ago, I said to myself, I said, how do you know you can do these things? So I joined I attended many meetings of the Ku Klux Klan, and I dissolved it in about a month and a half in Miami. Then I joined the White Citizens Council and dissolved it. So I want to know whether I can put these ideas into practice. And the main thing is to be able to change people. And you have to do it so that they can identify with the change. You cannot put a change in that is far beyond their experience. You have to put a change in that they can identify with. And that's what it's about.
Doing
the future means to present things in terms that people can identify with and accept.
Well, I agree with you. We didn't get this way overnight, so I guess it does take baby steps to change it, right, William?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think what Jock is talking about is pretty monumental. I mean, he has seen, it's a tricky thing, he has seen that you can change people who are ingrained in their bigotry and basically talk them out of it. And to know that that's possible, a lot of these ideas are not that revolutionary, they're just smart, and they're good common sense, and it's the willingness of people to change, I think is very important, and I think that we are at a low point right now in our sort of global mindset, I don't mean global, in this country, I think the United States is frozen right now in some sort of weird tantrum of growth, where we keep trying to keep everything the same. As Jacques said it earlier, when you try and keep everything the same, that is exactly when you're going to start to tumble.
Yeah.
Everything must continue to change. And this country is still trying to live on credit. It's still trying to consume like it's the 1960s. And it's not, you know?
Yeah.
And people don't want to look at that.
Since the internet became powerful, and we've been involved in it, with it for about eight years now in broadcasting, about 35% of my audience is around the world. And when you check those emails against emails from America, you can see a total difference in ideas.
Interesting.
And we are the ones that are stuck. In my opinion.
You know, I heard about recently, it was a conference in Africa, it was a global social conference. They had 66,000 people there from every country in the world except the United States. And I was, you know, really interested in something. I'm very interested in working with something like that personally, or professionally, I should say. But I was also kind of saddened by the fact that, you know, the rest of the world is marching ahead. You know, these people all got together, 66,000 people from every country in the world, except a very, very small number of United States citizens. And they're just sitting, they're planning the world for the next step. They're not waiting for, you know, we have this puffed up idea that the United States of America is the greatest country in the world. Well, maybe it was between 1946 and 1955, but, you know, it's not anymore. It's got the biggest military in the world, and it's got the biggest debt in the world, and it's got the highest standard of living. I don't see how it's going to sustain, though.
Well, and you talk about the standard of living. The rest of the world is fast approaching and passing us. And part of it's what Jacques is talking about. It's a friendlier world many other places than here. And this, hopefully, Jacques, we're just thinking about maybe this is just the stubbornness of the American pride, and you don't want to give up on something?
Well, you've got to remember this. That there was a time when the majority of people believed the earth was flat. Just because the majority of people believe something doesn't make it so. So the whole idea then is to what they call examine things, check them out, use the scientific method rather than politics. Politics is primitive, our language is primitive, our hopes and ideas, the way we talk to one another has conflict built in, because we live in a system that generates competition and conflict. In other words, why do you think they have automobile racing? To improve carburetors? No. It's a sick ego that people, of course not everybody is ready to accept what I'm saying. That goes for boxing, it goes for competitive sports, all things have the worst quality in human beings. There are other activities, there are other ways of thinking, which you don't get much on radio and television. You don't have anything on radio and television that would seriously rock the boat.
We recommend people to order this DVD. We have a link to it. William, what is your next project going to be?
Well, I'm currently working on a historical project, which I've never done before. So that'll be done sometime this year. And then after that, I probably want to get back into something that has more of a social component to it. I may do a documentary on homeopathy next, which I think would be very valuable. So I want to continue to contribute to the world as best I can. I will say that as far as Future by Design is concerned, I had this hunch when I was making it that we were going to have more interest in the film and in Jacques' ideas outside of the United States than inside, and that is proving to be the case. We are getting a lot more support and interest outside of this country than in, and I think that's another indication of the degree to which in the United States people really want to hold on to what they've got. They want to, you know, maintain the status quo because you know, change is hard to look at.
Jacques, 91 years old, you got a project you're working on now?
Well, yes. Always working on some aspects of the system to improve it. In other words, there are better ways of educating children. For example, in the future, you will not create specialists, because anybody can use a specialist, meaning an engineer or a physicist, to make nuclear weapons. In the future, we will generate more what you call generalists, people that are well-informed in botany, physiology, social affairs, anthropology, so no one can ever use them to make weapons. There are better ways. You'll notice that on television, they interview a lot of generals, not sociologists. Have you noticed that? There's something dreadfully wrong with our system, and it's going to fall on its face because it doesn't correspond with the carrying capacity of the Earth. Our system is designed to correspond to the carrying capacity of the Earth, not human whims.
I think that's a good way to end the show with a message that we better change our ways, and hopefully we will, but I the status quo is always attractive to those who are doing well, you know?
I also want to make one last comment about, I think it's a brilliant insight, this idea of specialists are easier to manipulate, and I think that's probably true. You know, the system uses intelligent people by narrowing their field of expertise and then, you know, putting them in some kind of program to do something like build a bomb. Whereas if you were smart and you weren't a specialist and you were a generalist and knew about a lot of things, you might not be able to be manipulated in that way.
It is a world that seems almost hopeless, but Jacques said we could change it in a couple of decades or earlier.
We gotta try.
Interesting. Thanks a lot, both of you.
All right.
I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, bye-bye.